and the Annie E. Casey Foundation.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loride. Well, there's so much in the news. There are so many incredible stories going on out there. I figured that today we'd talk about a few of them and then take your phone calls, too. So stick around. We're going to talk about the major news stories of the day. First, one listener commented about yesterday's program. Yesterday on Florida This Week, we discussed briefly a poll that shows that most Floridians support the idea of having open political primaries. And we got this comment about that after yesterday's program.
This is Jennifer Sullivan in Spring Hill, Florida. I wanted to comment on the top two about what the dangers in primaries is if the words top two are in there, because it will just essentially eliminate any third parties or independent parties, NPAs, from really having an opportunity to win, because it'll be either two Democrats, two Republicans, or one of each. So really, I think it's a wonderful idea to just have every party pick their own candidate in their own private primary and be done with it. That way they can actually get their base, the people that believe in their party, to choose who they want, and then have more open elections for more parties. Thanks.
Well, that was a listener comment that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. There's a lot of news stories out there. Sometimes it makes my head explode, and I'm the news director here at WMNF. So we are going to talk about some of the big things in the news today and take your phone calls and your comments. And as I mentioned some of these news stories, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. Jan Simpson is our phone producer today. So where to start? That's the big question. Where to start? Some of these stories do have to do with President Trump. In some, President Trump is a bit player. I try not to overcover Trump, because I think that's part of the problem, is that we've taken our eyes off the other issues. But here are some of the things I think we could talk about. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Well, a new study says that the gap between rich and poor is fracturing society, poisoning politics, and fueling public anger. This is from a new report from the anti-poverty nonprofit group Oxfam, which found that last year, just 26 people owned the same amount of wealth as the poorest 3.8 billion people on the planet. 26 people own the same amount of wealth as the poorest 3.8 billion people on the planet. That figure is down from 43 people last year. So it's gone from 43 people owning that kind of wealth to 26 people owning that kind of wealth. Since 2008, the financial crisis, the number of billionaires has doubled in the world, according to the report. And the very rich, along with corporations, are paying lower taxes than they have in decades. At the same time, 3.4 billion people are living in poverty on less than $5.50 a day. And women are often hit hardest. Men hold 50% more of the world's wealth than women, according to the report. Unfair tax regimes are one of the core problems highlighted by Oxfam. In wealthy countries, average top personal income tax rates fell from 62% in 1970 to 38% in 2013, according to the non-governmental organization's report. The cutting of taxes has not resulted in people having more money in their pockets, except for a few. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Former White House communications aide Cliff Sims described scenes of an absolutely out-of-control White House staff. President Trump berating the then House Speaker for his own party over loyalty, from his own party over loyalty, and the president walking out of policy meetings in his upcoming book. This is according to excerpts published just in the last 24 hours by the Washington Post. Stories are recounted in Cliff Sims' book, Team of Vipers. It's due out next week, and the Washington Post had excerpts on its website today. Trump took Paul Ryan to task over Ryan's loyalty to him after the former House Speaker criticized Trump's handling of the deadly 2017 Charlottesville, Virginia rally, according to the excerpts. The president said, "Paul, do you know why Democrats have been kicking your ass for decades? Because they know a little word called loyalty," Trump told Ryan over the phone. "Why do you think Nancy Pelosi," Trump said, "has held on this long? Have you seen her? She's a disaster. Every time she opens her mouth, another Republican gets elected. But they stick with her. Why can't you be loyal to your president, Paul?" said the president. Trump also brought up how Ryan distanced himself from Trump in 2016 after the release of the Access Hollywood tape in which Trump could be heard bragging about being able to grope women on their genitals. Trump said, "I remember being in Wisconsin and your own people were booing you," Trump told the Wisconsin Republican, according to the book excerpt. "You were out there dying like a dog, Paul, like a dog. And what did I do? I saved your ass." That's the quote from the new book by Cliff Sims called Team of Vipers. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. And you are listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And we're going to open up the phone lines in just a moment. The percentage of TSA airport screeners missing work has hit 10% as the partial government shutdown stretches into its fifth week. That's up from 3% a year ago. The workers who screen passengers and their bags face missing another paycheck if the shutdown doesn't end early this week. According to TSA, many of them say the financial hardship is preventing them from reporting to work at the airport screenings. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Well, Vice President Mike Pence stumbled during an appearance on Fox News on Sunday after Chris Wallace pressed him on the fact that Republicans could immediately reopen government if they wanted without funds for President Trump's desired border wall. The 30-day partial government shutdown is the longest in the U.S. history, with 800,000 federal employees either working or not working and without receiving paychecks. Let's listen to a little bit of what Chris Wallace and Vice President Mike Pence talked about on Sunday. This is where Chris Wallace was pressing Pence, saying that you could open the government tomorrow. This was on Fox News on Sunday. Let's listen in.
Want border security. 800,000 federal workers want us to. The American people want action on our southern border. They want border security. 800,000 federal workers want us to find a way to open the government.
You could open the government tomorrow.
We can do all of
that. You could open the government tomorrow. The House has passed bills to open the government tomorrow. Right. Why don't you sign them and open the government, and then you can negotiate about this?
Well, because, frankly, Chris, what the American people want us to do is to work on their priorities, and the American people want us to secure the border.
No, and isn't it really that you just want the leverage?
And what?
And that you figure if you don't keep the government closed, that then they're going to go nowhere.
Well, again, I was there. I was sitting right next to the president when Speaker Pelosi said, if we reopened the government and took 30 days to negotiate,
okay,
that she would not give the president funding for border security or a wall.
All right, that was Vice President Mike Pence on Sunday on the Chris Wallace show on Fox, where Chris Wallace was saying that you could open the government tomorrow and then start the negotiations after that. Pence says, no, the American people don't want that. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's take a call from John in Dunedin. John, you're on WMNF. Hi, John. You're on WMNF.
Well, thank you. On the border wall issue, I think the point is that the people understand the Constitution better than the representatives in Washington. They're supposed to work it out. Now, admittedly, on the Republican side, George Bush, God rest his soul, got vilified for read my lips, no new taxes, but he made a deal to try to balance the budget, which was a priority. That's what created the Tea Party and lost him the election. But I think more people would rather have the government working and the two of them compromising, which is what our Constitution was all about, compromises, and Congress should assert itself in the balance of power, pass a budget fully funded for what they want to do, and then negotiate the rest of it with an operating government.
Well, in that interview that we just played, do you think Chris Wallace was right? Could President Trump open the government tomorrow?
No. He has to execute the laws. All bills of spending and revenue have to begin in the House. The House is going to have to pass a budget. They could override a veto, pass it with a supermajority of 2/3, right? And then Trump would know he has to operate with that budget. But that means the Republicans and Democrats actually have to work in the best interest of all the people who are not getting their paychecks or not getting government services, instead of, revving up for their party.
All right, John, thanks a lot. What do you think of the shutdown?
No, I don't think they should. I think the government should operate.
Yeah, but are you being affected by the shutdown?
No, not personally.
Not personally, okay. All right.
I did notice I was out in the boat the other day, and the Coast Guard, was passing a rescue mission on. If border security is the issue, not the wall, how about fully funding the Coast Guard? Because they have a big part in border security.
Yeah, I think they figured out a way to pay the Coast Guard people in the last few days. All right, John, thanks a lot. Thank you.
And then I have one other short one. Before you were on a few minutes ago about party primaries, as an independent who doesn't want to pay for a party, why do I have to pay for the party primaries? Because we do, because the supervisor of elections, everybody does that. They should, if they're a private club, they should organize their own primary, pick their own candidates, put them forward, and run that candidate as whatever party they're affiliated with. But why should the rest of us have to pay for it? I do know the history goes back to when
we did
one party state.
Yeah, we did a radio show on this last week, and I did it on my TV show on Friday night, and we mentioned it again yesterday on the 11 o'clock show during this hour yesterday. So, but John, thanks a lot.
People who shouldn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, it's a good point. All right, John, thank you very much. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. If you want to call in, you can do that, or you can also email us in the studio at dj@wmnf.org. One of the other pieces of fallout from the government shutdown is that now the courts and the FBI are being affected by the shutdown. Let's listen to what happens when the money runs out. We're going to listen to an interview that was done on CNN this morning, in which CNN correspondent Jessica Schneider was on CNN on the morning show, and she told Poppy Harlow that the grand jury, the Mueller grand jury, could run out of money this Friday because of the government shutdown. Here's that. Let's listen in on that interview. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663.
By federal employees every day, work that we often didn't notice until that work is not done.
That's right. Later this morning, we'll hear in perhaps alarming detail the effects of the shutdown on a truly vital group of federal workers, the FBI. Let's go to Jessica Schneider, who has a preview. They're going to brief reporters on what this means for the FBI. Do you have any sense of what we'll hear?
Yeah, I do, Jim and Poppy. FBI agents around the country, we know they're set to put out this urgent message this morning. They're going to say that the shutdown is not just affecting their financial security with this missed pay, but that it is also severely impacting national security. So the FBI Agents Association this morning is set to release a 70-page report that will, for the first time, go into detail about how the government shutdown is impacting daily operations and investigations by the FBI. Now, the FBI Agents Association, they've really been sounding this alarm for the past 2 weeks. They first expressed concern that the shutdown was hindering narcotics investigations and surveillance. And now they're set to go even further, go into more detail about how investigations across the board are being negatively affected. Now, I have reached out to the FBI for comment, but we haven't heard anything back yet. But we do already know that the financial impacts of this shutdown as it pertains to the FBI have already led to food banks being being set up at FBI locations around the country, all to help the agents and the support staff who, like other federal workers, just aren't getting paid. So that's on the FBI side. We expect more information this morning. But we're also watching for another shoe to drop with this shutdown. The courts, the judiciary really warning that if the government doesn't reopen by Friday, funding will be even more significantly impacted and additional court-related payments could be shut off. Now, the courts, they've already sounded this alarm as well, issuing statements saying that their funding has been cut back, but really they've been able to keep most of their operations going. But as of Friday, just a few days from now, it is a whole new ball game. Jim and Poppy, the courts are warning really that funding could run out. They say the trials, yeah, they'll still be going, but they say they've already had to cut back on payments to jurors. And interestingly, you know, that could impact the grand jurors who are seated for the Robert Mueller probe. So a lot affected at the courts. And really, Friday is this big day where even more funding could run out, guys.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, that's a report on CNN this morning that the courts, the FBI, and even the Mueller grand jury could be affected by the government shutdown as money runs out this Friday. And what do you think? 813-239-9663. At 10 o'clock this morning in Tampa, at Tampa International Airport, there was a press conference featuring two of our local members of Congress, Charlie Crist and Kathy Castor. They were there with some federal workers who've been laid off, and they're talking about the impact on the public and on themselves of the government shutdown. And Sean Cannan is going to have a story on that at 3:30 this afternoon. So Sean will tell us what happened at that press conference with laid-off federal workers. So what do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. David writes this regarding the news about the Cliff Sims book. He says, I'm very interested to read the new expose book by former White House communications aide Cliff Sims. He confirms some of the chaos in the Trump administration, and I hope that more former staffers like Sims will speak out, writes David. David goes on to write that Trump demands loyalty, but he's loyal to no one. He throws loyalists like Jeff Sessions under the bus and drives over them hundreds of times, writes David. That's his thought. It seems like there's an extraordinary number of ex-Trump White House officials who have written books about the inner workings of the Trump White House. It seems to be, and the public, I guess, seems to have a tremendous desire to read these books, too. In other news, the Supreme Court is allowing the Trump administration to go ahead with its plan to restrict military service by transgender people while court challenges continue. High Court this morning reversed lower court orders preventing the Pentagon from implementing its plans, but the High Court, for now, declined to take up cases about the plan. The cases will continue to move through the lower courts. Military policy had barred service by transgender people until President Obama's administration began allowing transgender people already in the military to serve openly and set a date when transgender people would be allowed to enlist. President Trump's administration revisited those policies. The Trump administration has sought to generally restrict service by transgender people to only those who don't seek to undergo gender transitions. So that announcement by the Supreme Court this morning. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. As more videos emerge surrounding that encounter between members of a black religious sect, white high school students, and Native American marchers outside the Lincoln Memorial last week, the boys' school was closed today and a small protest was held outside their Catholic diocese in Covington, Kentucky, which is just over the river from Cincinnati. President Trump tweeted early today that the students at Kentucky's Covington High School have become symbols of fake news and how evil it can be, but he says he hopes the teens will use the attention for good and maybe even to bring people together. The teen at the center of the video confrontation with the Native American organizer of a march in Washington, D.C., says he did nothing to provoke anyone and sought to calm the situation. The student identified himself in an email Sunday evening as junior Nick Sandman of Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky. An official working with the family confirmed Sandman's identity, speaking on condition of anonymity. Sandman says students were waiting at the Lincoln Memorial for buses to return to Kentucky on Friday when four African-American protesters there began insulting them. That's the Black Israelites. The Native American, Nathan Phillips, told the Associated Press he approached the Kentucky students to keep the peace between them and the Black Israelites. Videos show the high school student, Sandman, standing very close to the American Indian, Phillips, and staring at him as the American Indian sang and played the drums. Other students, some in Making America Great hats and sweatshirts, were chanting and laughing. Sandman, the high school student, says the students began yelling school spirit chants to drown out the black Israelite protesters, and he did not hear students chant anything hateful or racist at the time. And there was a long segment on Democracy Now! This morning about the confrontation between the Catholic boys high school students who were in the hundreds and the Native Americans who were in the maybe 16 of them, and the black Israelites, maybe four of them, were protesting. It turns out that the PR firm Runswitch, which is co-run by an advisor to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, the advisor's name is Scott Jennings, has played a significant role in trying to quell the outrage over the video that first appeared to show the MAGA hat-wearing teen disrespectfully crowding the space and smirking at a Native American man outside the Lincoln Memorial. The PR firm said in a statement it has been retained by the high school student Sandman to offer professional counseling with what has become a national media story. The PR firm says we're working with the family to ensure an accurate recounting of events which occurred this past weekend. So this young high school student now has a giant, powerful PR firm working for him. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And let's take another phone call. We're going to go to Fred in Tampa. Fred, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mr. Lola.
Hi, Fred. What would you like to say?
Yes, sir. I would just like to say that on the shutdown, I've tried to get through to several news media outlets, and I've been denied to say. I even emailed them, but to say. New American slavery without change. White Americans experience work for without pay. This is what it's all about. And the solution that I offered these guys to put out on the air was I'll do what they need to do to any media outlet. Notify all the Republican senators that they need to either do their job because they lack patriotism. And if they don't do their job, they will be voted out of office because this is unfair to Americans. I myself is a former Vietnam vet. But this year it is, war is not the answer to everything. But in Vietnam, we had Hispanic blood, we had black blood, we had white blood, we had Asian blood that's on the ground over there for America. And if these Republicans will not be patriotic the way they should be, we don't need these people because to me, my time in Vietnam for America was wasted.
Well, yeah, because we have constitutional amendments that supposedly outlaw slavery, that you're not supposed to work for free. Some of these workers are going to get fired or they're going to get disciplined if they don't show up for work. You're right. How can people be forced to work for free?
Right. But see, they're trying to tell us that we need to make a choice between Democrat or Republican. Well, the choice has been made. You give Donald Trump the freedom to say, okay, open the government. We give you what you want, but open the government. Don't treat these people like slaves. Let them earn what they're supposed to earn. Now, you want to talk about a wall and everything else, then we can do that. But don't continue to sit there and try to play a game with a wall because, like I said, you got Asian blood, you got Spanish blood, you got black blood and white blood that's been shed not only in Vietnam but several wars. And if they want to sit there and talk about patriotism, they need to look at themselves because the ones trying to make the rules for our country, they are immigrants themselves. Look at the Rubios. Look at the Ted Cruz. Look at the McConnells. You know what I'm saying? These guys are immigrants themselves. So how can you sit there and be an immigrant and yet tell me that another immigrant can't come in this country? You talk about hypocritical. That's the most hypocritical thing I've heard in my life.
Yeah, well, Fred, that's a great point. Well, you finally made it to the airwaves somewhere. You made it on MNF. So thanks for coming on, Fred.
Yes, sir. I've always been able to talk to you people, but this idea needs to be scattered throughout the whole state of Florida and all over America. This is the truth. Let's, as they say, without the border growing up, put your money where your mouth is. And also, if you're going to walk, talk the talk, then walk the walk.
Yeah. All right, Fred, thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, Fred, thanks a lot. So, again, our phone number is 813-239-9663 and email address dj@wmnf.org. Ron's in Venice. And Ron writes this, Vice President Mike Pence is only speaking for Trump administration supporters when he says that the American people want to secure the border by building a wall. The majority of Americans do not want a border wall. And Ron goes on to write, what's deplorable about this border wall debate is that Trump is using working class people as a leverage by shutting down the government to try and get his way. That the Democrats are not folding to his antics, like how the U.S. does not negotiate with those who terrorize. Yes, I'm saying that the Trump administration are terrorists and are a threat to the well-being of the American people. The $5 billion wanted by tyrant Trump, writes Ron, to build an unnecessary wall could go towards federal grants for education, welfare, health care, and other school programs, writes Ron in Venice. All right, Ron, thank you for your email and your thoughts. If you want to join in, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. Ed's in Largo. He writes regarding the shutdown, this has become a wet dream for far-right Republicans and libertarians. Getting rid of government has been their goal since the John Birch Society in the 1950s. These are precarious days for our country, writes Ed in Largo. Let's go to Tim in Sarasota. Tim, what would you like to comment about? Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, the way I see it, the whole thing is a distraction, and it's a self-monument to Trump. Anything that he owns, any building, Trump Casino, Trump Tower, he names it after himself. Obviously, it's an ego trip. The other thing is he owes his supporters a second term. He's not going to get that unless he fulfills this campaign promise. I mean, the thing that I have a problem with is you got, what, 30 to 40% of the country actually supports this guy. Do they turn their heads to that or bury their heads in the sand? Or they just they're just dumb and they don't understand what Trump's really doing? That's the thing that I don't understand.
Well, let's hope one of them calls on in and tells us why they continue to support President Trump, even through this shutdown. And
I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, there's so much obvious stuff going on with the Russia thing. And the other thing is they're preparing now for a terrible report that's going to come out from Mueller. That's and they're setting themselves up now, Giuliani and all of them, because they know what's coming around the corner. And I'm just afraid there's going to be like a civil war or something between Trump supporters and the rest of the logical people that live in this country that actually believe in their intelligence agencies and whatnot. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen, and let's hope that we just have a conversation about it, and we continue to talk. And it
I don't know. When you see the report that's going to come out here pretty soon from Mueller, it's not going to be good. I can tell you that much. None of it's going to be good.
Yeah. All right, Tim, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Scott in St. Petersburg. Hey, Scott, you're on WMNF.
Hey, Rob.
Out of all these news stories, what do you want to talk about?
Well, the wall, of course. I saw a video on TV like Friday that showed where people on the Mexican side tumbled under the wall, and then they came up the other side and immediately gave themselves up to Border Patrol. And it said it was a huge number. I never saw a count, and I never saw anybody talk about that ever since. I mean, to me, that's a show of how worthless this hundreds of miles, thousands of miles long wall would be, you know, if it's so easy to tunnel under.
Yeah, you know, I was watching MSNBC for a time last week, and I saw one of their reporters go into some of these tunnels. And apparently there's lots of them, and you're right. It does appear pretty easy to tunnel under the wall.
Yeah, I mean, this tunnel was only like maybe 40 foot. I mean, it wasn't deep. Just went under and up, and then out they came. You know, but nobody's talking about that.
Well, you know, what's weird to me is that most, you know, if President Trump doesn't like undocumented immigrants, what's weird to me is that most undocumented immigrants don't come in by crossing over through the desert or tunneling under the wall. Most come in and just overstay their visas. So when we see numbers like 10 million or 12 million, most of those people have come here legally and then just didn't leave when they're at the appointed time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Go ahead. Billion, why doesn't he go after those people? I mean,
there's a complete lack of intellectual honesty. There's a complete lack of looking at the facts. You know, study the issue first. Find out where the biggest source of the problem is. Are these people really committing crimes? And we know that the numbers are very low for undocumented immigrants. But you know, if you really believe what you're saying, appoint a commission, study it, have the commission. Nonpartisan commission, come back with the facts, and then figure out which of the greatest problems you want to solve. And the wall, I don't think, has ever been advocated by anybody who wants to solve the problem of undocumented immigrants.
Right, and of course, the smart thing there, where you, like you say, you do a study, analyze it, that takes too long, and it doesn't rile up the people.
Yeah, you got to rile up your people, and that's the role that Fox News and Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh play in this. You got to get your people riled up. That's how you maintain your 40% support, and you hope that you hope to gain another 10 or 10 plus 1% in the next 2 years before the presidential election.
I just hope people wake up. You know, Trump is just he's just ruining now the Obama market rally. It's just a shame.
All right. Yeah, the market is down today. Scott, thanks a lot. Thank you for
you
that.
Bet.
All right. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Bruce in St. Petersburg. Bruce, you're on M&F.
Yes, hello. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
It's a theory, but I know Trump owes a lot of money to Russia, China, other countries. I kind of think this wall thing is a way for his family to get contracts to siphon a lot of that money and make a large down payment on the money that they owe other countries.
Well, it could be, but, you know, no contracts have been let, and I think we're a long way. Even if tomorrow Congress were to give President Trump his $5.7 billion to build another 600 or so miles of the wall, even if that were to happen, there would be lawsuits by property owners. There would be a procurement process in which contracts were announced. I mean, rather, proposals were announced, and then people would bid on contracts. We are so far away from that point where even if Trump did own a construction company or got kickbacks from a construction company, we are so far away from that point. You know, we're probably years away from that point, even if the money was voted today. So, you may be right. Maybe it is a way for Trump to try to squeeze some money out of contractors. But that's so far down the road. And that's why, you know, at that point, that's why you need good investigative reporters that work for especially newspapers and maybe TV and radio stations that can do the investigative reporting to find out what that contractor's ties to the Trump administration are.
You know, we lost $9 billion in Iraq, and you just can't keep track of it all.
Yeah, and then certainly a lot of that $9 billion went to Halliburton, and that was a Vice President Cheney's company. All right, Bruce, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. Thank you. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Jan in Tampa. Jan, you're on WMNF.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Jan.
I have a question. Oftentimes the newscasters, no matter what station you listen to, say that 30% of the people in the United States are Trump supporters. And I have to take issue with that because that seems so inaccurate to me. I think it's 30% of the voting population. So how many people really are Trump supporters if there's 300 million? How many million people are in the United States? 300 million?
Yeah, I think it's 350, although I haven't checked recently. Something like 350.
Right. And how many people voted for Trump? See, I don't have these numbers in front of me. And I'm thinking if we did the arithmetic, the percentage of people, the voting population that supported Trump is far less than 30%. So I'd like to figure that out.
Okay, all right. Jana, I've got, you should see the pile of paper I have here and newspapers, and now I'm going to pull out my calculator and I'm going to go to the 530 website while I'm doing a radio show. I feel like the guy, you know, spinning those plates in the air on Ed Sullivan's show.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So, but you're right. I mean, just here's some quick numbers, and these are not accurate, but these are close. President Trump got, 48-49% of the vote in that election. About 60% of the public, thereabouts, maybe a little bit more votes in the typical presidential election. 60% of people of voting age vote in a presidential election. So that means that Trump probably got less than 24% of the vote in the country. These are just, you know, I would really need a calculator, and I would need to sit down for 15 or 20 minutes and look at the numbers. But that's roughly it. So that's to your point. When I said 40% of the public supports Trump, I'm really talking about the polls out there that say that if you ask registered voters, do you support President Trump or do you disapprove of President Trump right now? Registered voters, if you ask them, about 40% approve of the job the president is doing. About 52-57% of the public disapproves of what the president's doing.
But then again, if it's a registered voter, it's not 40% of the American people. It's 40% of the people of the registered voters. So that number is still off. It's not 40% of the American
people. Well, I take your point. You think it's lower. I think that the Trump people would push back and say, if you ask registered voters, that's who counts. But I know what you're saying, that you've got the feeling that it's lower. And I think the reality is that just a slice of the country voted to elect President Trump. Not
exactly.
Yeah. All right, Jan.
All right, I'll do my arithmetic and I'll send you an email.
Okay, all right. And I'm sure there's people that do this. There's people that do this for a living that can give us those actual numbers.
I'll look it up.
All right, thanks a lot. 813. Thank you, Jan. 813-239-9663. Let's go back and listen to some more sound. This is from CNN on Sunday, Brian Stelter's media show on Sunday morning. He had those two BuzzFeed reporters. Now, you remember the story broke last Friday. And the story, or last Thursday, about Michael Cohen, the president's personal attorney, reportedly being told to lie to Congress. And I'm just going to read from the CNN website. BuzzFeed says its sources are standing behind the bombshell report about the special counsel investigation. Investigative reporter Anthony Cormier told CNN's Brian Stelter on reliable sources on Sunday, "We're being told to stand our ground. Our reporting is going to be borne out to be accurate, and we're 100% behind it." Cormier appeared with BuzzFeed editor-in-chief Ben Smith on reliable sources. Let's listen into some of that sound of that interview. I think Brian did the interview for about 10 or 15 minutes, but let's hear just Cormier and his boss, Ben Smith, on reliable sources on Sunday, defending their
reporting is
their report from BuzzFeed. Hold on just a second.
So what's going on?
Let's see if we can get this to playback. We've got multiple playbacks here. But these are the BuzzFeed, two of the BuzzFeed team defending their report.
Then what's going on? Is there a fight between the special counsel's office and the Southern District of New York?
One set of
prosecutors are saying one thing and the others are saying another thing. Is that what's going on?
Well, we don't know. But we're actively reporting that out. We're trying to figure out how to parse this statement from the Mueller team and actively what's happening, not only behind the scenes at DOJ and the special counsel, but we're trying to get deeper inside the room where this happened.
But a lot of reporters look at the special counsel's statement and they say, he issued a flat denial. Yeah, it's written in a legal way, but they're challenging the premise of your story. What does that feel like as a reporter?
Never great, but actually, I'm solid. My sources are solid. This reporting is accurate.
So the people are saying heads should roll at BuzzFeed.
No.
That you're hurting the news business as a whole. What do you say?
I've been a reporter for 20 years. My first job was on the loading dock of the Panama City News Herald. Right? They wouldn't give me a job inside because I was too young and green. I've been doing this again and again and again and again. The same fundamentals that I learned covering City Hall, covering the police, covering courthouses, that stands today, right? That is, I use those same skills, the same rigor to cover the White House. And this is going to be borne out, Brian. This story is accurate.
What if What if the sources are just wrong?
They're not.
Not intentionally. Not trying to hurt you, but just what if they're wrong? You
know, they're not. I'm confident.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's not, this is obviously the highest stakes, and there's no source exactly like Robert Mueller. There aren't other government officials who, when they say this is wrong and we're not exactly going to say how and why, that would produce the sort of reaction that you're bringing here and that
right.
we're seeing. I mean,
right.
it's an unusual situation.
It's a very weird
very,
situation.
Very, very high stakes version of a situation that we're all familiar with, where you publish a story, a source says this is wrong, you say how is it wrong, they won't tell you, and all you can do is continue to report to nail down the details.
But then why not raise the bar further? Because the stakes are so high, raise the standards even higher.
Our standards on this story were extremely high. And again, you know, obviously,
you're
the,
saying it's
the
not
limitation
about,
around...
You're saying it's not about quantity of sources, it's about quality. Am I perceiving that correctly?
That is obviously extremely, extremely important. It is also true that we, and in particularly with the president's lawyer on television That's demanding right. a leak investigation.
But what about documents?
Very
what about
careful.
Getting documents?
There are a lot of limits around what we can say. Like, I think that we have said a certain
right,
amount
I respect
about
that.
What we have. What we have. We have some in the story. We said some things on television. We stand by all of it. But I think what we have discussed this morning, just that in the context of the president's lawyer calling for a leak investigation, we're being extremely careful.
He also said
you, know,
you should be
very...
sued. Are you concerned about legal challenges?
You know, we are obviously prepared to defend ourselves and to defend the story in every forum.
And you've been doing that for the last 2 years after publishing the dossier.
Yeah, that's correct.
Let me just ask...
All right, so those are two of the people at BuzzFeed, Anthony Cormier and Ben Smith, both defending their story in which they claim that President Trump told his personal attorney to lie to Congress. They seemed pretty confident, didn't they? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. They did that interview Sunday after the special counsel's office issued a short statement. And I'll just read the statement. This is from Peter Carr, spokesperson for Robert Mueller's office. And the quote is, BuzzFeed's description of specific statements to the special counsel's office and characterization of documents and testimony obtained by this office regarding Michael Cohen's congressional testimony are not accurate. Period. All right, so we could talk about that too. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Anonymous writes from the 724 area code, I think it is, the wall has nothing to do with security and everything to do with Trump's ego, writes Anonymous. All right, Anonymous, thank you for that. And this is WMNF in Tampa. Let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to Richard in St. Petersburg. Hi, Richard. You're on WMNF.
Actually, both reporters, as you pointed out, they did sound credible. They didn't get excited. They kept calm. And they answered the questions with facts, what they had been looking at. But the question I was calling is, it's been pretty well documented that Mar-a-Lago and other Trump properties, he's always brought in workers on temporary visas from overseas, and but has any of the mainstream media in, say, Miami or other cities where Trump has these properties, have they ever done any research as to how many of these people on temporary visas overstayed their visa and were either later deported or possibly may still be in the country?
That's a good question. I don't know if they've done that research. I don't know if that story would be easy to track. You know, first of all, you'd have to find out whether or not the names of these workers who are brought in on temporary visas, whether they're part of the public record. And then
goes to Florida Department of Labor, from what I understand.
So the names are part of the public record?
They should be, or they should not be that difficult to get.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there are some great reporters at the Miami Herald. We do know that other people who have brought forth complaints saying that they were mistreated. They were brought in as temporary foreign workers to Trump properties, and they've been mistreated. Those stories have been well reported. But as to whether or not some overstayed, I don't know. I think the first question, Richard, is with all the people in the U.S. who need jobs, why does President Trump bring in foreign workers for his property if he's such a nationalist? If he thinks that American workers should come first, why does he bring in foreign workers? I think that's the big question to answer first.
Several years ago, the Miami Herald did raise that question with the Florida office down there that handles that particular district. And she pointed out how many chefs, waitresses, everything across the board of people looking for work, and she had not received a single request from the Human Resources Department at Mar-a-Lago. And they asked Mar-a-Lago, they said because they never got any Americans applying.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that story.
That was Miami Herald story.
Yeah, I remember that Miami Herald story. We rewrote it and mentioned on WMNF several times. Yeah, it's a big story, and it's really not the state that allows foreign workers in.
Right,
it's the federal government.
It's an exchange program, or
the Trump administration.
They find the documentation, the worker applies if they're accepted, so on and so forth.
Yeah, what happens is
Americans, college students go to Germany, England, and France.
Yeah, yeah, you know, really what happens is the Trump administration, or not the Trump administration, the Trump business says, we've got these job openings. We can't find any American workers for the job opening. So we're going to apply to the federal government to allow us to import workers temporarily from abroad. And then the federal government looks over what the Trump administration says about finding workers domestically. And if it agrees with the Trump business, rather, then it gets to import foreign workers temporarily. That's the way it works.
Well, the question is, are they also, when these requests are coming in, are they checking with the local employment office to see if they've gotten any requests from the Human Resources Department?
Well, I think, as you pointed out, they didn't. The Miami Herald reported, and you answered your own question before this. The Miami Herald reported that the Trump Trump business, I keep doing that, sorry, the Trump business has never checked with the local authorities to find out if there's any unemployed chefs. So
right, and so that might be part of the reform when they're handing out certain level work visas.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Richard, thanks a lot. Thank you. 813-239-9663. Here's an email from Diallo. Diallo writes, America has a hate problem that gives rise to Donald Trump and his hate for President Obama. Peel back the scabs of bigotry that infected us all, writes Diallo. Diallo, thank you for that. And then Elijah writes, one amazing aspect of humanity is, or can be, when a government or a large group oppresses a large group of little guys, the larger group of little guys will eventually revolt or mutiny, hopefully to restore freedom and liberty for all. I wouldn't mess with the pissed and oppressed, writes Elijah. And 813-239-9663. Tony writes this, rational arguments make no difference if they are made in terms of the public interest or the public good. Trump's demonstrated he's only about his own private interest in terms of money and power. Let our Florida senators, Rubio and Scott, know we believe in the concept of the public interest as opposed to that of rich corporations or an ego-obsessed president. That's a Tony's email from St. Petersburg. So if you've got a comment, you can call us up, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Travis in Sarasota. Travis, you're on MNF.
Hey, first-time caller, but there's a few things I want to touch on. Number one, of course, the border. To me, it's not about the wall. To me, I honestly believe that Trump understands business very well. So if he shuts down the government, of course, judges ain't get paid. Jurors not get paid. So all this federal investigation that could affect him and his ego, all of a sudden are not getting funded. So what does that do? I mean, it puts Mueller in a hardship. Now, even those who have left his office have said it's not about the wall. It's about something greater. And now we're beginning to find it out with all this government being shut down with the Mueller investigation going to run out of money and everything, what it's really about. You know,
so you think he's trying to undermine the FBI and the courts and the Mueller grand jury by shutting down the government?
That and a lot of other things. I mean, it's just common sense. I mean, the man, as far as political, he don't have an idea of leg to stand on. Business wise, I can't take it from him. He's very smart business wise, and. That's what appealed to a lot of people when he was elected was that, you know, he kept coming in and saying, we're going to change everything. Well, guess what? I'm a diehard Republican, but I'll never vote for anybody like that in my entire life. Because to me, that's not what the Republican Party stands for.
Well, Travis, what should the party stand for?
To me, the party is, number one, is about unity. We're the party of Lincoln, and that's where people truly forget. We're the party that helped create the ending of slavery. We're also the party that really backed the civil rights movement and everything. Now all of a sudden, we're totally against that. We were about feeding and taking care of the poor and all that. Now we're not about that. I mean, we were about Ronald Reagan, the greatest president to ever live, in my opinion, was one of those that reached across the political lines to get stuff done. Whether it was against his party or not, he was one who is about the people. And now, you know, George Bush, you know, he's another one. He got pretty well murdered by his party for, you know, the I will raise no taxes. But yet he had to do it in order to make a compromise. Why all of a sudden is this idiot, let's just be serious here, not want to work with anybody? Just him.
Well, Travis, that's the big mystery, because the president always portrayed himself as being the ultimate negotiator. He could get to a deal. But there doesn't, I mean, I think he's standing firm, and I understand that is one way to negotiate. You just, okay, say, take it or leave it. That may be one way to negotiate, but the best negotiators try to figure out a way to have a win-win situation for both sides. And
exactly.
And what do you think about the president's skills as a negotiator?
I honestly don't see no skills whatsoever. And, you know, and for him to come out and say, okay, well, we're going to take these people's visas and these people's visas and da-da-da. Last I checked, your wife was born also. The first lady. She wasn't born in the United States. She's a Ukrainian, if I'm not mistaken. So just because she's married to you, does she fall into special order? I mean, these are things that really need to be looked at and talked about, because everything that this man says, if you look at it, is totally against some of the stuff that he does as a business and in his own personal life. I mean, he wasn't really ridiculed about touching a woman's genitals. But if you go back and think about it, what was his name? The African-American gentleman that was running under the Republican Party was accused of sexual misconduct. And his whole life was changed. But yet we elected an idiot that does it. Why? Because he's white?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. All right, Travis, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. You know, there have been interesting articles written about Melania Trump and what her immigration history is. The Washington Post wrote about it back in February of last year, and I'm just going to read a few of the opening lines from it. The question is, Melania Trump was an immigrant from Slovenia. And she came here on a visa, an Einstein visa, given to just a few people who are at the head of their field, at the top of their field. And I'll just read what the Washington Post wrote last year. President Trump is the most vocally nationalistic president in modern history, a chief executive who has made skepticism of immigrants his political calling card. He is also the husband of an immigrant whose past immigration status has been the source of nonstop caginess from Trump's political operation. This week, we got a little taste as to why that is. It suggests that there is more than a whiff of hypocrisy beneath the surface. The Washington Post is reporting that Melania Trump's Slovenian parents are legal permanent residents of the U.S. This would also appear to suggest that they benefited from the same chain migration that Trump has decried and sought to significantly scale back. Immigration experts say that Victor and Amalia Knavs, the parents, very likely relied upon this to obtain their green cards, though their attorney has not confirmed it. Trump has proposed limiting family migration to spouses and children, which would mean that people like the Knavs would no longer be eligible to come to the U.S. Beyond that solo incongruence, though, the whole thing rekindles longstanding questions about Melania Trump's immigration status. Neither the president nor the White House have done much to address the multiple inconsistencies in her story. This lends credence to notions that there is something else in her story that runs counter to the president's political brand and is being obscured. Put plainly, if Melania Trump's parents benefited from something Trump decries, is it possible that Melania Trump herself benefited from something that Trump has decried? Or even put more plainly, has she ever been an undocumented immigrant at any point? That's the start of a New York or a Washington Post article from last February. You can look it up. The article is by Aaron Blake, and it questions the president's wife's immigration status. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, you can call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments about this show back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for your hero, Mark Bureau. He's coming up next. And thanks to Jan Simpson for being our phone producer today. This is WMNF in Tampa. Let's get the latest news from NPR.